You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Ooh, hot mic, hot mic, hot mic. Let's go. Hey, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Christy Simone, Eddie P. Alexander.
Good morning, Chris. Good day. Wednesday to you.
You know, I know they call you Big Ed on the on the groove.
Yeah, you're going to call me Little Ed? Is that what you're going to do?
No. I was thinking about, I remember I tried to come up with a nickname because you need a nickname for that place over at the old groove, right?
Uh-huh.
And you got a big voice, and you got a big heart, so that Big Ed thing kind of works.
Okay.
But I always wanted to go Alexander the Great.
Ah.
That's what I wanted. I just wanted to say that. On the record right now, Alexander the Great. That Big Ed thing's cute, but Alexander the Great, that's what I think. Welcome back to 1030 The Voice,
good
local
morning.
News and talk, the place in Tucson, the place in Southern Arizona for elections 2020. Get to know the candidates, the stories. We're going to talk to the candidates. We're going to tell you all the stupid things they do. You know, we might even tell you about Joseph Morgan. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that? I'll read my email I got from Joseph Morgan.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad he's listening.
He's miffed.
Well.
Oh, he's miffed. But I'll read it to you. It'll be kind of fun. Living rent-free in Chuck Huckleberry's head.
Tell me.
Yesterday, after we pointed out that the taxpayers paid $26 million for soccer fields that most people won't be able to use, and they won't have the use that Chucky Boy says they're going to get, especially during an election year, of course. Isn't it amazing how the grand opening's during an election year? That's funny. The ribbon cutting and tours were not open to the public. Remember the Worldview thing? Where they took $20 million of our dollars to help those fools with their balloons?
Yeah.
Right? And then they sent out a thing about come for the... Remember they got the Tucson Symphony Orchestra playing at Worldview for the grand opening?
Oh,
and
yeah,
then a couple of our listeners wanted RSVP to come, and they said, oh, we're all out of space. So they screwed those people over. That was $20 million of your taxpayer dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So this is $26 million. And literally in the press release, it said, oh, if the public wants to come, they can show up to the Fort Little shootout game. The ribbon cutting and speeches are only for the insiders.
For them to talk to themselves.
Right.
Yes.
And to have TV crews show up.
So, yeah.
Right. That's how the public was going to experience their greatness, was through a TV news story. Well, we'll be happy to announce that, as Tim Sandifer from Goldwater keeps talking about, every time he's on the show, he gets a nasty manila envelope from Chucky and the crew.
Chucky!
Okay. Well, magically, on the Pima County Facebook page and on a updated invite they sent out to the press, it says all are welcome.
Oh, that was after the show yesterday.
Right.
I see.
Living rent-free in these people's minds is getting easier and easier and easier.
He's got to save his legacy, man.
We will talk about the appointment of Fergalicious to a constable part.
God help us. God help Fergalicious, okay?
And congratulations to Joe for escaping Tim, being in an office with Tim Steller.
Yeah.
Fitz.
Yeah. Chances of surviving that job?
So we're gonna
without getting shot or what?
So Allie's gonna be here in the third hour, and we'll play a video of what was said.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. Then of course we got to go to the quote quality unquote reporting of Blue Check Dylan on this one, and some of the stuff that Blue Check Dylan. That was the guy laughing with Jim Nensel, crawling in the grass next to the victims of the January 8th memorial people when I was there last week.
Yeah,
we're going to read some of his quote again. Reporting. Hold on, who's this orange haired man in here?
You're fake news. Listen, you're fake news.
Donald, news. Chill out, dude. Chill out already. It's only 6:10 in the morning, and the prez is all fired up on fake news. So we're going to have a little fun with Blue Check before this is all over. What else do we got today? The Project Veritas guys, we're going to talk about them. Those are the guys that do the hidden cameras with the Planned Parenthood, the people from CNN and that type of thing.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that before it's all over. There was a court case involved with that. We have to do, this one's going to upset Betsy, wine tariffs. We're going to talk about that.
Tax.
Well, that's from the Trump administration, so we'll talk about that.
Tax.
We're going to talk about closing down the Florence prison as part of the governor's plan. We'll talk about the amount of drug users in Tucson that got deflected from going to jail in a new program. We'll give you some numbers on that. We're going to talk about Doug Ducey when he came to do the rubber chicken lunch with the Tucson Misogyny Chamber yesterday. He was way too nice. He's a very nice man to these folks.
Yes.
He's way too nice to the people of Southern Arizona, and I'll explain why. We're going to go to Bloomberg Finance, Yahoo Finance. It's a first time in 26 years all U.S. metro areas enjoyed income gains. Just more of those crazy numbers. Vince Vaughn catching crap from the national championship football game. We'll talk about that. A guy writes a very interesting op-ed about story in Movie Maker about watching 1917, right?
Uh-huh.
Which he loved, but he talked about how these films that have high detail quality and long single beautiful shots,
yes,
is really tough for the short attention span edited world.
Man,
of the modern folk.
Have you watched the news? I mean, everything moves. It started with ESPN. I noticed it about 10 years ago with ESPN.
I'll go even earlier.
Okay.
MTV in the 80s as they started cutting videos.
Yeah.
I think that's just, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, you're right. But boom, 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 boom. But to the mass public.
Right.
It started with ESPN. Everything. There's always something moving in the background, on the bottom, on the top, in your face. And then TV news, the nightly news, picked it up. And now everything is moving because they have to keep your eyeballs glued there. Because in 2 seconds, the dog will get you. Or the blah, blah, blah. You can't. You're right. You're right. You know, it's uncomfortable to, concentrate. You know, come on.
And then there's a great story, an op-ed in the Washington Post from a Stanford PhD student. He's got problems with the entire Star Wars franchise soundtrack. And I'll explain that. It's so nutty. It's so nutty. All right. Now, Ed, bring up the guest list for today. Of course, this hour of Wake Up Tucson brought to you by Cabco AZ, Central Arizona Yay. Block. CabcoAZ.com, Bricks, Blocks, Pavers, and a member, Wetmore, Valencia, and out in Sierra Vista. We have, he's the guru of local news. Dan Shearer, is that what we're going to call him now? Can we call him the guru of local news?
You can do that.
I think I'm going to. Eric Newsom, he has a book called The Guide to Podcasting. He does podcasts for NPR and other entities out there. He has a book about everyone wants to do a podcast.
Sure.
The amount of podcasts out there is just unbelievable. So, it's funny. I was saying when I heard that name when I was reading it this morning, I was thinking of the scene in The Jerk when he's working at the gas station, right? Steve Martin and those guys, the bad guys who they're kind of the criminals and they come to get gas because they're going to rob the gas station, and he has the stolen credit card over, and Steve goes, can I have your credit card? And he look at these three guys, and he goes, "We want unleaded or super unleaded?" And he looks at it, he goes, "Mrs. Nussbaum." And I saw Eric Newsom. I better make sure I don't say Nussbaum.
You better.
Schweikert's calling a day earlier. He's got, work to do on Thursday, and then Allie Miller will be here in the third hour, and we will definitely talk about the appointment of Fergalicious.
Wow.
It's, and other things, but
that's weird.
Appointment of Fergalicious. So
we have to look up the definition of what is he's the constable,
right?
Yeah. You don't want to be a constable.
And then we also have a beautiful announcement on social media from the police department, not in Tucson, congratulating themselves for having two new young hires. Look like they're in their late 20s, and they're both lateral transfers from TPD. Losing two more officers.
Mm.
And then, Cantoni. He has
Craig Cantone.
Craig Cantone is cranking out these email/columns every 2.5 days.
Yes.
If he doesn't get it out, he explodes.
Does he have Facebook? Because it doesn't do any good if nobody sees it.
He doesn't trust any of those people.
But then nobody
ever
knows.
So he's hoping that like Loretta at ADI or somebody picks it up or I talk about it. Okay? It's not like the Star would ever run his stuff.
Of course not.
They ran it once and then never again have they ran a Cantone.
He needs... It doesn't do any good inside his head.
He's actually, he should talk to Shearer about writing for him.
Point.
He should start getting down on there. So anyway,
point.
He did an op-ed about, and he did the research, comparing on a per thousand person population per capita, the crime rate between Tucson, Arizona, and Chicago.
Chicago, the crime capital used to be, but...
Put your helmet on for that one. 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk. On the way in, I declared it a No-Jo Jazz Wednesday. Let's do it. This is our girl, Allison Miller, who was just on last Friday. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30, The Voice, part of the Tucson Jazz Festival.
She's on tonight.
Oh, that's true.
At the Jazz Festival, so we'll play some of her music. She's a drummer and director, Corey.
Group leader.
That's it.
Thank you. As we like to say,
Miles Davis,
kind of blue. It's not. There's the perfect amount of notes in one album. Is this album? There's not too many, and there's not too little. It's the right amount of notes. So if you had to, like, you know, put the proverbial gun to my head with a cocktail in front of the fire, looking out on the mountains, this could be the album I'd like to hear in the background while I was doing it. So it's a No-Jo Jazz Wednesday. For all of you newbies out there, we call it No-Jo Jazz for my old co-host, Joe Higgins. He hated two things in this world, soccer and jazz. So when he'd go on vacation or he wouldn't be on the show, Ed and I would say, well, the jazz grump is away. It's time for us to play. So whatever day it was a No-Jo Jazz Thursday, whatever. And we haven't had it in a while. I was talking to Margo about the Tucson Jazz Festival last 24 hours. And I'm like, so I said to Ed this morning, I'm declaring a No-Jo Jazz Wednesday today. So if you'd like to hear something in the world of jazz, let us know. I am writing Ed a deep list right now, so he better be ready. Real quick, Ed, in the Washington Post, let me just say one time, this is for my boy Ferguson.
Democracy dies in the darkness. WAPO.
WAPO.
Yes.
Owned by the Amazon guy. Stanford PhD student Jeffrey Chen made the case that the music of the Star Wars franchise is racist.
What?
This is talking about John Williams' celebrated score.
This kid must have went to college or something to figure this one out.
Now, don't get me wrong.
Everything's racist in college.
So, there's definitely, in certain parts of George Lucas's, especially in Phantom Menace, which is the fourth movie he made.
Are you going to bring up Jar Jar Binks? I love Jar Jar Binks. I love I like Jabba.
So,
I think he's a cool cartoon character.
We just learned that about Ed.
Yeah.
Right, I'd rather have heard him telling me about something illegal that he did in Tijuana than his love for.
He's cool, man.
Yeah, he's cool.
If I could have had a Jar Jar puppet, that would be cool.
The doctoral student argues that the main problem with the franchise is John Williams' music. I mean, this is what we're working on, right?
God, yeah.
He claims that John Williams takes European influences when the protagonists are on the screen, but Chinese, Indian, and Middle Eastern influences when there's antagonists on the screen. So now the music, the beautiful music that John Williams has won a zillion Oscars for, and music is it's racist now. So just why next time you listen to the Imperial March. You're racist.
Damn.
Thanks, America. So at the game, the football game Monday night between LSU and Clemson, my lunch date bet I lost at Alexander, I guess in the private box, because the president was there with the first lady, and, quote, captured on a cell phone by a journalist, Vince Vaughn is seen in the box speaking to the president and first lady.
Oh, my God. The president of the United States? Oh, no. No, not in public. You can't talk to that man.
And before he leaves, he exchanged a smile and shook the president's hand.
My God. Blasphemy, I'm sure.
And then as he put it out there, I'm very sorry to have to share this video with you, all of it, every part of it.
Good. And here it is in your face.
And then the trolls on the, of course, in the Twitter sphere are losing their mind.
Listen to this. Listen to what we're saying. It's a president of the United States, ladies and gentlemen, okay? It's not Potman Vooden.
Now, some of you wine drinkers turn away from the radio, as we like to say. This is from Carly over at KOLD, Live Local, and Bud Foster. I think Bud's going to be a constable soon. And so you got to seek Bud with a taser. Amazing. You may have to start paying more for your favorite glass of white wine thanks to potential tariffs. It's so funny. I must be on a Rincon Market email list from the days that the Abbotts owned it and the new guys bought it. And they don't use it to actually promote anything about the restaurant. But damn it, they sent out an email saying, please contact your legislator about wine tariffs.
Now it hits home.
Now we're gonna market to our customers. Trade fights starting in October. World Trade Organization ruling, that's interesting, that the aircraft maker Airbus received subsidies from Europe at Boeing's expense and a French tax on digital services. The new tariffs would be added onto the 25% tariff from October that now includes all mainly European wine imports and other goods. And then, of course, they talked to a guy from Circo Vino, company based out of Tucson. He sells some French wines. And then, of course, Doug over at Feast, who's always been proud of a very good wine selection over at Feast. He says it's doubling the size. It's doubling the price of his wine.
Jeez.
So,
he
says a glass of wine that used to cost $11 is now going to cost you $22. Well, you better love your European wines, I guess. I'm very happy with a good Argentinian Malbec, and I'm okay. So, and there's some good stuff coming out of, even though there's some good stuff coming out of California that I'm probably be just happy with when it comes out of my, comes into my wine glass. Ed Alexander is doing hard research on what a constable does.
Yes.
This Fergalicious thing has got him.
Tell me when we're going to talk about that.
We'll see. Maybe we'll do a little bit with Danny, but we'll see. Dan Shearer. So let's see what happens with all this. So Ed's going to bump us out with racist music from John, according to Stanford PhD student.
PhD, thank you.
Jeffrey Chen, the Imperial March, I guess, is racist. So hopefully Tim Stellar will write an article about local radio show plays racist music.
He needs something to write about.
Hey, Tim, as Flo from Alice once said, kiss my grits. 10:30 The Voice. All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. We got to get right to it. There's a journalist down in Green Valley who is up for an appointment by the Board of Supes to be a bomb-sniffing dog for the Pima County Sheriff's Department.
I deal with bombs all day long, and I do not need the title, I'm telling you that. But I got to confess, though, I do have the Star Wars song on my iPod.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And if you listen to the whole thing, I tell you, it's just chilling. It's just, it's
great.
Well,
no,
it's
wonderful. Thanks, racist. We've just learned
here. I've been called worse, trust me. tell you. Hey, and I also have to address the No Joe Jazz Day or whatever you put up.
No Joe Jazz Wednesday.
Yes.
There we go. I interviewed a guy a couple weeks ago in Green Valley named Brian Savage, who in the 90s was just the smooth jazz king in actually worldwide. He was quite well known, kind of riding on the coattails of Kenny G, who a lot of the jazz people, of course, said was not really a jazz guy or not very good at it. But Brian Savage lives down here in Green Valley now, and his claim to fame is that he did the sax work on Steve Martin's King Tut. Back in 1978.
Born in Babylonia, moved to Arizona.
Hey, wait a minute. Brian Savage, he's a hockey player. What are you talking about?
No.
Montreal.
I met this guy. He's not a hockey player.
Okay.
So, no, great, great guy. Really enjoyed him. And he was part of Green Valley's Got Talent, which was on Monday night. So we're just kind of highlighting the key acts there. And he just moved here maybe 3 months ago. So really interesting. He toured with Al Stewart for 4 years back in his heyday. He sang Year of the Cat and a couple other big songs. So,
Time passages.
Right.
So what did you think of Ferguson getting appointed to the constable job?
Well, I wasn't surprised. There had been some rumors swirling around that he was going to be a shoo-in because the other candidate may have had some issues, which we never confirmed, never really got into, because it's not our district. But I can tell you that if that were the case, Joe certainly knew it, because you wouldn't go up against somebody with that much experience, you know, quit your job and kind of roll the dice unless you had a real strong sense that you were going to get it. And that's what happened. I can tell you that Dylan over at TucsonSentinel.com mentioned some of this in a story he wrote on it. It just wasn't going to rise to that level for us to do some of that research on it. So I think he was a shoe. And here's a big question for us in journalism is, was he abandoning journalism? Was he, afraid of the future? Were things going at the Star?
Yeah.
He wasn't going to like, was he going to, you know, he certainly wasn't going to lose his job because he is, was one of the hardest workers over there. Sometimes you would feel like he was the only one writing. But I know Allie Miller and others certainly had problems with his some of what he did. I never did. I thought he was a really, really good journalist and was sorry to see him leave the ranks. But you know what? Maybe he just wanted to try something different while he still could, and the opportunity presented itself, and he certainly prepared for it. He did, you know, over, I guess, 100 hours of ride-alongs and tried to, you know, figure out what the job was.
So, all right, so let's agree to disagree. First of all, he was obviously, you can see the way he did his reporting, he never dug any deeper than what Chuck Huckleberry or Richard Elias fed him, okay? He never did research on anything, ever.
There's a lot of feeding that goes on with the county.
I know.
We'll just leave it. We'll leave it at that. But I would disagree with you.
Now, that's why we're having these beautiful discussions. Now, here, one thing, you brought up Blue Check Dylan here. So this is his paragraph. Because you brought it up, I want to talk about it. Sources within several county offices have indicated Camacho is the subject of ongoing human resources investigations and has been previously subject to disciplinary action. Information he didn't mention on his letter asking to be appointed. Right? He's in, supposedly there's an investigation, right? He hasn't been, he goes, no, I love this. Because they were not authorized to release that information, those sources requested anonymity. I mean,
right.
So sources within several county offices. First of all, I doubt Dylan talked to several people, several different offices to find this out. I just feel that paragraph is weak.
Well, you think it's untrue.
I don't know if it's untrue. I'm just saying is we went with several unnamed sources impugning a guy's character.
Right, Well, remember they rule for using anonymous sources, and one is if there's a legitimate fear of retribution for the person. For instance, if it were a domestic violence victim and we were doing a story on DV, we would go ahead and allow that person to be anonymous. The second is if it's important information and it's the only way you can get it. Now, that's a judgment call. How important is that information? Because you don't want to use anonymous sources too often, because then you lose credibility. And so he made the call in this case to go ahead with those with using the anonymous sources here, and he said he checked it out. Now, nobody would use an anonymous source in this situation without getting it from at least two people and hopefully three. This is, to me, would not rise to the level of reporting because the guy didn't get the job, but I can guarantee you that had he gotten the job, there would have been a lot of public records requests in the county the next day seeking his to look at his...
How hard is it for someone to say in human resources that, yes, the guy is under investigation? Why is that a hard thing? Is that really...
Oh, no, it wouldn't be a hard thing, but they wouldn't do it. They would say, well, you got to put in your request, and they'd make you jump through all the hoops, and then you come down there and look through his folder, his file, and then they would just make it very difficult. Now, had someone done it up to this point, I don't know. We didn't. But this thing had been swirling out there, like I said, for several weeks, and that's why I figured he was going to get it.
Well, to me, and my last thing on this, it looks like Dylan went with that because he really liked the idea that his boy Joe got a job. Now, let's go to Lisa Royal. Now, is this this is the former Justice of the Peace who,
yes.
This is why we have Ray Carroll in Green Valley?
Well, she is the court administrator, and then she left that position, very powerful position, by the way, for all of the justice courts, and then she left that and came down here and was appointed when Judge Gail White left midterm because her husband was quite ill, and then she ran for re-election and got it down here, and then she left. So we left here because she wanted her old job back. And we were just pounding the snot out of her down here on quite a few issues with the court. She wasn't here much. The filings went down dramatically. We really kind of questioned how things were going here and whether she really even lived here or not, which is a requirement. So she ended up going back up to Tucson and gets popped on suspicion of DUI, and we got a hold of the report, and you can see that she clearly, at least the deputy thought that she clearly was impaired. So this is a case where a person in her position is held to a higher standard. She has dealt with many DUI cases as a JP, and of course, as a court administrator, is not unfamiliar with the process, and you hit these things a little harder as a journalist. And so we'll see how this plays out. She has a court date later this month, and it certainly doesn't look good on paper, and the initial blood alcohol level, or she blew a 0.11, 0.08 is legally drunk. So, but the description of her behavior when she was stopped is not pretty.
The it's kind of the I like the headline here of she handed the guy the credit card instead of her driver's license. That was cute.
Yeah, there's that, and then there's a couple of other things that went on. You know, she was supposed to walk in a straight line and walked into the back of her car, and things like that. And I know that these are embarrassing details from that report, but also in that report, she says that on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the worst, she feels like she was at about a 2. Yeah, she'd been drinking, but she's just fine. Therefore, we had to dig into the details of what was going on because it was clear that her actions were not a 2. With the red
sure.
and watery eyes, and again, she at one point walked straight into the deputy, and so she clearly was impaired enough to have him cite her, and so we were kind of forced into sharing some of those details.
Mr. Shearer, could you hold on for one more segment, please?
Sure.
Thank you, sir. We got Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News. We got a question for Dan. 790-2040. This is a Green Valley resident on the saxophone.
Brian Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is a song that, you know, really formed a lot of our character when we were in the late 70s. King Tut, wake up. I should have brought in some booze.
Thank you. Some wine before it goes up.
6:50 in the morning. Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. I don't know if he's a big wine drinker. I know he's a wine cooler drinker. I don't know if he's a big wine drinker.
Bartles and James, yep, yep.
I drink nothing, nothing.
Dan Scheer, let's talk about your beloved Green Valley here a little bit. Tell the Green Valley Recreation. When does the Green Valley Recreation Battles, did they ever end down there?
No, they never end, and this one's been probably going on for 20 years or so, but I'll tell you why we wrote this story, which looks at at two groups that people look at, and they say one is pro-CEO, Kent Blumenthal, the other one is anti. And so we said, you know what, we're going to just sit down with both of these groups and really kind of get to the heart of the issue, because we don't think the issue is the CEO. And this is an example of, you know, you hear all this stuff, but when you actually sit down with people, you can get to the core of the problem. And I think the problem or the concern is, what is Green Valley going to look like in the future? And both groups have different ideas, and they've just been battling it out. And Kent, the CEO, certainly has an idea of what he wants it to look like, and to, you know, change things and to prepare for growth and invite growth, and to know what the retirees in 10 and 15 years are going to be asking for and start putting it into place now. Whereas the other side says, no, let's just kind of stay like Mayberry, and let's address the meet the needs of the people who are here now, who are paying the bills. And it really kind of strikes at lots of different things, because as you become more popular, the housing prices are probably going to go up, the dues are going to go up, you have a lot of people here on fixed income, and they we have a range of housing costs here, as we've talked about before. You know, you can get something here for $40,000, you get something here for $1 million, and people don't want that to change. They don't want to become a Saddlebrook, is what the refrain is. A lot of times, so we sat down with both sides of these groups, and we said, okay, you know, where do you stand? And then we said, you know what, the issue really isn't the CEO, the issue is what Green Valley is going to look like here going into the future. So that's kind of the crux of that, and hopefully we can get people heading in that direction, because all of this vitriol regarding the CEO is really just misplaced. And because he really isn't the issue, he just has a certain idea of how he wants things to look.
So. Well, and you're right. And as we learned from the city of Tucson, doing your long-term planning for your area based on we don't want to be something else, and that's all you have, that doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there are certain modifications that have to happen. And again, you know, we come back to pickleball, of course, because a lot of people said, no, as we need more courts, just build a couple more courts. Kent Blumenthal, the CEO, came in and said, no, we need a pickleball complex because this is going to be big and people are going to be looking for it in retirement. And, hey, maybe we want to actually host a couple of tournaments or something. So that's kind of crystallizes where the thought is. The argument isn't about pickleball. It's about the growth and the change that pickleball represent. And Kent's saying, get on board or you're going to be left behind and Green Valley is going to quickly turn passe. And the others are saying, no, it's going to become a community people will bypass because it's going to be too big and too expensive. Now, I don't see that really happening. If you were to look at the current boundaries of Green Valley, you can only fit another 6,000-7,000 people in here, which would put us at the height of the season, maybe, you know, 35,000, if that. So I don't know that growth, wild growth, is really going to ever be that big of an issue down here. But you do want to attract new blood. And a lot of the new stuff we have coming down here, it looks like it's in Green Valley, but it's technically in the town of Sarita. So Green Valley isn't seeing a lot of new business growth. It's seeing replacements of things that go under a little bit. But for the most part, it's fairly stagnant.
So, Dan, you're one of my voices of reason out there, and, you know, we can disagree on stuff. When I made a little bit of a stink that they were doing this ribbon cutting and speeches for the $26 million soccer field, and they didn't want the public was not invited. Now, they've changed that since, you know, we know they listen to the show. my initial disgust at that, is that something you think was merited?
What, that they do a big ribbon cutting and everything?
And don't invite, and literally says on the invite, the public not invited.
Yeah, you know, this is these are the photos that are going to end up in campaign literature going forward, and it's really not for the public. Isn't that sad? you know, this is really for them, and you know, we're just kind of a necessary evil of them.
The 26 mil.
Yeah, exactly. They have to have someone paying for the facility and for their job. So, you know, we had this up in the Phoenix area in late December when they opened up the South Mountain Loop, which now, if you want to go to California, you don't have to drive on I-10 through downtown Phoenix. They had this loop. I took it the other day, and it's very, very nice. And so they had the big ribbon cutting and everything there. So, you know, they expect 100,000 cars a day on it and then more in the future. But again, you know, you have to do one of these deals where they cut the ribbon and people can ride their bikes and walk. And it's like, meanwhile, you have tens of thousands of motorists who have been paying for this thing. And this idea was hatched down there 35 years ago, by the way. And seriously, 1985, I still remember it. And anyway, so I just think it's kind of goofy, but it's just one of those things where you roll your eyes and you just say, yeah, that's the way it is. But that's what it's for. It's for campaign photos and for backslapping all the people who actually never did any of the work on it. Taking credit, it's the way it is. I'm glad you call them out, by the way.
Thank you, sir. Now, on Wednesday the 22nd, you have the Green Valley Foundation is going to have Kimber Lanning from Local First speaking down in Green Valley and Sarita. And what it's interesting, she has 3,200 members. She was on the show years ago. It was out of the recession was the idea that we should be kind of concentrating on supporting local businesses, right?
Right.
Do you feel as though, you know, they, even though she has 3,200 members, and I love the, I mean, I'm a local guy, right? Do you feel like the message has been heard?
No, I don't think, and I'm not sure that she's the one to be sending it out there either. And our discussion, and we had quoted her in a story about a month ago.
We got about 2 minutes just to tell you.
Okay, my question to the reporter was, don't let her get away when you talk with her with just kind of putting these platitudes out there and these, you know, we all got to kind of get together and rah rah and everything. Ask her very specifically, what are you going to do to help local businesses bring dollars and people through the door? That's what I care about. Is what can someone like her do in a community that she's not even familiar with? She doesn't even know if we are, you know, rural, semi-rural, suburban, ex-urban. Well, I don't know.
Right.
And so what can she specifically do besides come down here and give kind of a pep talk, which we don't need anymore? We need very specific ways to help small business owners run their businesses, because a lot of them don't understand marketing. They don't understand finances. They don't understand hiring and firing. A lot of that real basic stuff that a good chamber will do too, and hopefully we're going to get rolling that way with our chamber. So I kind of, you know, just stand in the corner with my arms folded when people like this come through the community, because I wonder about the overall benefit of having them come. But sometimes if it's all you have, you take it, and maybe she'll come here and surprise us. So we have a story online about what she says she's going to come and try to help us talk about. But other than getting the ball rolling, which a lot of people can get the ball rolling, it's keeping it rolling that is the problem. So,
well, we know that most of the local governments, especially in the center part of this region, haven't bought into the local first themselves. So,
right. And one good benefit, though, is that now we're getting the sales tax from online, and we're actually looking into exactly how much that's going to be helping a community like Sarita, which
sure.
Should be getting a little cut of that. And that, you know, it was a long time coming. I'm glad that's finally happening, because a lot of people are buying stuff online. So it's really not so much are people going to Tucson as it is them going to Amazon. That's the problem.
All right, I've got 23 seconds. What is a Green Valley event that we should be aware of coming up?
Business Expo and Taste of the Valley. Lots of restaurants and businesses getting together at the casino just north of Sarita. Desert Diamond, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It is lots of fun. Cheap eats.
Wow. Is the Chipotle going to be there?
I don't know.
Oh.
You ruined it.
Thank you, buddy. Green Valley News Editor Dan Shearer. Schweikert, Allie Miller, How to Podcast, all coming up.